Genesis chapter 12. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time of fellowship and where the body of Christ gets to join together in the same spirit and in one mind in the unity through worship, through the Word of God, through prayer, through the body of Christ, through the presence of our Savior. Lord, just move, Lord, in people's lives. In people's lives today, all around the world. We are so desperate and we are so needy for you, God. We need you. Not like we knew you yesterday. We need to know you now. We need to know you right now. And you reveal yourself through your word. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. When Juan said he's going to do an overview from Genesis, I'm going, wow, how's he going to do this in 10 minutes? He pulled that baby off really good. Man, wow. Good stuff. I'm going to do a little overview, too, a little bit of Abraham. And think of this. We're going to talk today about the covenant, the calling, and the promise. Because that was what was introduced with Abraham. Within his call, he received a promise. And within that promise came the covenant. It's just it was amazing because, and just like Juan said, it did not include Abraham. It's called the Abrahamic covenant, but it had nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. You know, this was with God. So we're gonna go through this. So in Genesis 12, and in verse 1, he says to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country, leave your kindred, and be removed from your father's house unto a land that I will show you." So leave, get out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from your father's house, and I'm going to show you a land, and I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make a great name out of you, and I'm going to make you a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. So there's the introduction of the beginning of this amazing promise, this amazing calling, and the start of the covenant. Okay? And right off the bat, Abraham fails. Because he was supposed to leave his kindred, and he ends up taking his nephew Lot. So he disobeys right in the beginning. Right in the beginning, he disobeys what God has told him to do. And they enter into Canaan. And as they enter into Canaan right away, and this is amazing, because when God calls you or God gives you a promise, the first thing that is going to happen are things that are going to come against your life. Anybody have some difficulties this last week? And you have some pressure, some things that are just like overwhelming because you received a calling, you received a promise. God is touching your life, and all right away, the enemy starts to come against. And what happens in Abraham's life and Sarai's life, or Abram it is at this time, and Sarai, is a famine comes right into the land. They get there, and a famine starts right off the bat. So, you know, what we start doing is we start questioning ourselves. Did God really call me? Did God really promise this? Is this what I'm supposed to do? You know, if God is to call you, why are all these things? Doesn't it supposed to be smooth sailing? Doesn't it supposed to be an easy lifestyle or an easier than what I've been going through? But the heat is just starting to get turned up. So they leave then Canaan. They head into Egypt. And as they get into Egypt, Abraham's got to set things straight with Sarai because she was very good to look upon. And so he says, we're going to see Pharaoh in Egypt, and you tell him that I'm your sister and I'm not your wife, because they'll go after me. They'll kill me for you. And this is how he's starting the promise, the covenant, and the calling upon his life. It's amazing. God sends plagues. Pharaoh finds out about it. And he says, you need to go. You need to get out of here. You know what you almost did here. So that's what ends up in chapter 12. In chapter 13, Abraham returns to Bethel. And God has blessed him and Lot and his herd and his herdsmen and his goods and his possessions, and God's blessing him. And now both him and Lot are too big for the land. They're too big. So they decide to separate. They decide to separate. And Abraham, in his humility, says, listen, I want nothing between us. So you choose. You choose the left, I'll go to the right. You want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. Whatever you want to do. And so they separate and they leave each other. And immediately at that time, God reconfirms the calling, the promise, and the covenant again with him. And he says, so what happened is, when Lot chose, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes, and by sight he seen that Sodom was very attractive. He goes, I'll take that. He says, and Lot's opinion of that, he says, this looks like the garden of God. I want that. But he was looking through his sight. What he physically seen was appealing. He could see the blessings from what he saw. When God deals with Abram on this, okay, so right after they split, he revisits them with the promise again, with the covenant, with the calling, and he says, now I want you to lift up your eyes. This is God speaking to Abraham. Lot lifted up his own eyes, and God says to Abram, now you lift up your eyes, and I want you to see everything through the promise, through the covenant, and through the calling. And wherever you go, whatever you look northward, you look southward, you look eastward, you look westward, and I'm going to give it all to you. Not by your physical sight, not by what we don't walk by sight, but because you're going to see it through the Word of God. And we need to train ourselves to see things through God's word, not what we see by sight, not what we are visibly experiencing, because that could lead to easily deception. Lot was deceived. Lot seen Sodom. And look what it's going to take place within his life. So he said, go ahead. Now you lift up your eyes. And he says, and I'm going to make your seed as the dust, and I will bless your seed, and I'll bless your seed of all that you see, and the length and the breadth of everything that you walk in. So God renews his covenant. In chapter 14, there's the battle of the kings, and Lot is taken captured. And Abraham goes down and rescues him, brings him out of that. On the backside of 14, he meets Melchizedek, the king of Salem. So this is his life. This is how it's progressing. This is what's going on. And he meets Melchizedek, and he ties to Melchizedek as a priest. And this is a representation of Jesus Christ as being our high priest. And you can read about that in Hebrews chapter 7 about Melchizedek and this whole action here. In chapter 15, it starts to pick up again. The covenant again becomes renewed. And God visits him. Abram has a vision. And God puts Abraham out. puts him to sleep, and then he, remember, this is where he, there's this smolding furnace or the smoking furnace and the burning lamp, and God walks right between it. God walks right between these two areas with the sacrifice. And this is a divine this is a divine promise from God of what's taking place at this point. So again, the deep sleep, a vision, Abraham's not involved, and the covenant is made. The covenant is made with God. And this starts to really get good here. So that's the third time now within this period of time, and these are years that are going by, but God will always revisit you. He'll always confirm the promise. He'll always confirm the call. And in this case, he confirms the covenant. In chapter 16, it starts to get a little messy. Sarai goes and tells Abraham, I cannot deliver you a son. They're getting up there in age. The Bible says that they're close to 100 now. And by the way, this whole thing started when Abram was 75 and Sarai was 65. Now they're 190, and 100 and Sarai is 90. All that time has gone by. And so Sarah says, I cannot deliver you a son, but I've got a maidservant, and her name is Hagar, and you can lie with her, and she will give you a son. So this is what happens, and this is what takes place. And at the end of chapter 16 is the birth of Ishmael, born from Hagar, the birth of Ishmael. Right after that birth of Ishmael, it's like, okay, Abraham's got his son now. But right after that, God comes again with the promise. He comes with the promise, and he does something. Because they have fallen, both of them have sinned, Sarai offering up the maidservant, and because Abraham is such a good, obedient husband, he did what his wife told him to do. He obeyed in obedience his wife. Don't do that, gentlemen. But that's what happened here. And so God deals with both of them. He changes Abram's name to Abraham, and he changes Sarai's name to Sarah. He gives them a brand new identity. He looks beyond their failure of trying to make the covenant between them with God not involved. And he changes their name. And then he says this in verse 16. He tells Abram, so this is Genesis 17, 16. He says, I will bless her, speaking of Sarah now, and I'm going to give her a son, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. So this is God's now still confirming the covenant. And Abraham laughs. Abraham laughs. In verse 18 or 17, and he says, how can we have this child? I am 100 and she is 90. And this is just like God. You know, 25 years have gone by, and we start questioning it. God, where's the promise? I'm hearing about it, but I don't see anything. I'm hearing you talk about what you're going to do, but I'm not seeing physical evidence of you doing anything. Yeah. And Abram said in verse 18 to God, oh, that Ishmael shall live in thy sight. In other words, Your idea, God, is dead. This is what he's saying. I could believe it when I was 75, but I can't believe it now. And this is what God does. He waits for us that we can't believe in ourselves anymore. Physically, he could believe it when he was 75. Now, I can't even believe that. And you know, some of us get like this. Some of us may have been called by God, and we never follow through. Is the idea dead? Is that promise dead in your life? Or God touches your heart in an area, speaks to your heart, touches your heart. You know it's from God, but then you get detoured. You go maybe another direction. You get off track. Is the idea dead? Or even worse, and we're so good at this, because I hear this weekly. We offer up the doctrines of excuses of why I can't. And we'll blame it on our spouse. Well, I can't go after God's calling because I got, you know, my wife here. Or we'll even blame it on the kids. The kids are easy to blame with it. They can't defend themselves. What are they going to, they're going to talk back to you and you're going to, you know, no. But we'll use that. We'll use that to stop what God's trying to do in my life. And it just becomes excuse after excuse after excuse. People say, oh, let me do my career. Let me win the lottery. How about that one? Let me win the lottery and I'll give to God then. You know, then I can go to the mission field. So you're bringing up all these things to permit you from walking in God's calling. And Abraham was no different here. You know, we get detoured. When we get detoured, we start to lose confidence in the promise. We start to lose hope. We start to forget even what did God tell me? What did he put on my heart? I lose my vision. I lose my hope. I lose the promise. I get lost in my own thing here. I get lost in it. Abraham said, the promise is dead. And the reason why he's saying that, because there's no life in it. He's not seeing life in the spoken word. He's seeing life in Ishmael. Ishmael is alive before you. Use this. Use this son. But Ishmael was born of the flesh in sin. God ignored all of that. Abraham says, let Ishmael live before you. And God goes right back into the promise. Just ignored it completely. Didn't even pay attention to it. You know? So remember, it's not, Abraham is here, he's saying this, let's do it my way. That's what Abraham says. Do it my way, God. Let me do my thing and you come right behind me and bless everything I do. Let's do it that way. Do it my way. It's already done. The son's here. The son is alive. But it's, you know, it's never going to be through the flesh. It's only going to be through the Spirit. It's only going to be through the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. God doesn't need our flesh. It must be through his word. It must be through the Spirit of God. These words that I speak, they are spirit. They are spirit and they are truth. John 6:63. The Spirit. This is what God's going to deal with. So we don't want to get sidetracked on what is evidence. Ishmael was evidence. Ishmael was alive. The promise was not yet. It's still just being talked about. When's this going to take place? I'm 100. She's 90. It's impossible. Okay, we'll do it now. Now that it's impossible in your mind, let's do this thing. Let's bring this to pass. Let's start this now. And look how God said, as he ignores him in verse 19. He says, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. God's saying, indeed, this is going to happen. Most definitely, this is going to happen. This is how it's going to be. It's always been this way. From eternity past, it's been this way, and it's that way now. It's not going to change based on your inability to be able to perform.
Amen.
Mm.
Yes.
Wow.
It's all God's work. It's all God's spirit within you. Never give up on your calling or how God is, what he has placed up in your heart. Let that flame flow. He says, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. He even has his name. Before he was born, he's got a name for this child. He sees it in the womb even before the seed is conceived. I will establish my covenant with him, an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. This is going to be for generation to generation to generation. Life springs forth from death. Maybe we'll preach that next week. We'll do a message. Life springs forth from things that the womb was dead. Everything was dead. It's a dead idea right now. It made sense before. I could wrap my mind around it. Now it's dead. I don't see nothing coming of this. But what I do see is the flesh is alive. Ishmael's alive.
Yeah.
Let's do the covenant through him. God's plan for you is always going to be a divine purpose. He's going to call you through the spirit, not through the flesh, not how you feel. So let's go one more thing here. In closing, go a little bit further. Genesis 21. And this is the birth of Isaac. So the promise now takes place. And you can read about this. But what's going on here is after the birth, Sarah is trying to wean now Isaac from milk. And in verse 9, and the Bible says that Ishmael saw it and he started mocking. Ishmael starts to mock Isaac.
Yeah.
And like any good mother does, she defends that child, gets up. But there's something spiritual here too. This mocking. We'll see what Paul says about this whole story in a minute, but he uses a different word than mocking. He calls it persecution. Mm-hmm. And you can call it mocking too. It's the same thing. But the flesh will always mock the spirit. The flesh will always come against the spirit man. The old man will always attack the new creation. Will always come against what God's doing in your life. The flesh will always say, you never were called. You don't have a calling. You don't have a gift. What are you doing that for? You can't do this. And will continue to come against you and come against you at all times. Paul said the flesh wars against the spirit. There's warfare going on because of the promise, because of the covenant, because of the calling upon your life. When you have a calling upon your life, when you became saved, it opened up all the flesh to do warfare upon you, to come against everything that you do, everything that God has taught you, everything you try to walk in is going to try to be permitted. Because of this mocking, because of this persecution. And it's real. And it's spiritual warfare. Ishmael was born of a bondservant, the bondwoman. She was a slave. The flesh is always a slave. The flesh will always keep you as a slave. Always wants you to be a slave to sin. Because whatever you're a slave to, that's who you serve. Represents slavery, represents the flesh. And Abraham's saying, let this live. No, it cannot live, Abraham. It cannot live within people. It must learn what death is. Because it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that's within us. So Sarah goes to Abram and tells him what's happening. And she doesn't ask his opinion, doesn't look for counsel, doesn't look for advice, doesn't want to be hugged, doesn't want any of that right now. Because she understands where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. Abraham didn't. Abraham was soft towards Ishmael and Hagar, sentimental towards them. Oh, let's take care of the flesh. Let's be with the flesh because it's still part of Abraham. It's part of him. And Sarah says this, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman will have no inheritance with the free. Cast it out. And this is what we do with our own flesh. We must learn to cast it out. Or it's always going to have warfare within your life. You're always going to be dealing with situations and problems that you'll never learn to overcome because the flesh is having its way. You're having a little flesh attack, a little baby attack. You're being offended. Who gets offended? You think your spirit within you gets offended? The flesh gets offended. The flesh will always want you to get offended. Did I say we're going to close? Let me give you one more. We're good. Football ain't for a while. We got 4 more hours to preach, huh? Let's go, man. Wait till you see that Super Bowl rap, huh, Pastor Dave?
Amen. Woo!
Okay, turn to Galatians chapter 4. And we'll close here. Okay, so in Galatians 4, Paul is going to start talking about, because it said, and he repeats it here, that cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman cannot be heirs with the son of free. As a new Christian, as being saved, you're free. Sin has no more hold upon you. Galatians 5 is going to go into it a little bit later. It's going to talk about that you stand in liberty. You stand in that freedom that God's given you. It's a gift. We stand in what, like we sang that song. I love that song. What's that? How's that going to stand? Oh, that's amazing. That's an amazing song. And this is what this means. We get to stand in the liberty of who has set us free. We don't have to live in the bondage of where we used to be in our old sin nature before we had Christ. The new creation allows us to stand in this freedom. So it talks about that you are an heir. The slave cannot be or join in with the inheritance. That's what it stands for. As an heir, everything that the Father has is yours. That's not available to the flesh. It's not available to our flesh. There's one remedy for the flesh. That's called the cross. It's death. And out of that death, then you live. And this is why Sarai says, and Paul even reiterates here, is to cast out that old sin nature that is warring, mocking, and persecuting the spirit, the new creation that's within you. And it does it nonstop, 24 hours a day. But with bondage, in any type of bondage, you'll never experience freedom. Never. If you allow the flesh to mock you and to persecute you day in and day out, it's so hard to get victory. The Christian walk becomes a struggle. So we must learn, just like Sarah did with amazing discernment, to cast it out. Cast out that bond. Cast it out. Get rid of it in your life. And live as children of the promise. We are children of the promise. We have victory because of what Christ has done. The covenant had nothing to do with us. The calling is a gift. And the promise is because you are heirs. It all comes in because of what Christ has done through the covenant. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the word of God. By the way, liberty means we have access to God. Because of our liberty, we're allowed to go into the throne room of grace. Only through liberty we have access. If not, there's always going to be a veil. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the body of Christ. I want to also pray, and it's good to see Mirtha. I was worried about her too, and been praying for her and continue to pray. There's many that need prayer within this body.
Yes.
And we just want to think about them now. Just take a second and to think about body members or family members or even neighbors, Lord. Lord, you can touch them. You can heal them. You can minister to them. If there's somebody here that has never accepted Jesus as their Savior, it's a free gift. It's just, you just believe in what Christ has done for you. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you will be saved. It's that simple. It has nothing to do with your works, what you do. It all depends upon what Christ did. Done. Finished. And Lord, we just pray for our upcoming trip to Costa Rica on Thursday. We pray for communion service next week. Prepare our hearts through the week, Lord. Bless the offering today. Bless the offering. Bless our wrap, our fellowship. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the Spirit that abides within us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah.